Hey everyone, before we get into my chat with the winner of the first season of Canada's Drag Race, that's right, yes, Priyanka is on the show. We are going to talk about patreon.com/Craig and Friends, which is the home of Hot Dog Club, aka Donut Club, aka the club that cares. And that's a club you can join right now by going where? Going to patreon.com/Craig and Friends. So if you'd like to be part of the club that makes this show possible, head on over there now, see which reward tier works best for you, sign on up and slide on into the Thunderbuns of Hot Dog Club. Now, there's been a few changes to the reward tiers, and I'm going to tell you about them. So, on the ground floor, you have She Supports, that's the dollar tier, and that helps you to support the show, and you also get the new Revive live from lockdown. Yes, that's right. A couple times a week, not every day, because I just can't do that, I've discovered. A couple times a week, I will have little sort of informal episodes, kind of like the Live from Lockdown series, and they will just be telling you about my day, the things going on in the world, the things going on in my plate and my meals and my fridge, whatever's happening in the endless hallway, all that stuff, that's Live from Lockdown, you know what it is. And that's available to you at the dollar tier. And then we move up to the $5 tier, which is She Likes Something on the side. Yes, she does, because she likes some bonus episodes, right? And that's what you get, full-length bonus episodes, really fresh, juicy bonus episodes. And then we move along to the $7 tier, which is, ooh, she's curious. And now that features the listener questions episodes. You know what those are, right? You've heard the assembly of samples of those in one of the previous episodes of the regular feed. You'll be hearing a couple more examples, a couple trailers, little highlight bits in the regular feed coming up soon. Recently, you heard the movie club excerpt with Peaches Christ and Cherry Torn. And that brings me to She Likes to Watch, which is the $10 tier. For the $10 tier, you get all the previous rewards, which is true of every reward tier. If there's one below it, you get that reward as well. And so for the $10 tier, you get the movie club. You're ushered right into movie club. You watch the movies along with us. I mean, you know, not at the same time and not in our own places, because listen, we got to socially distance, right? And just like with listener questions, you add your voice to the conversation, because you put your comments and questions in for me and my guests to consider, chat about, and chew the fat over. And then above that is the She's in Parties tier, because that grants you access to the weekly Hot Dog Club Zoom meetups. Those happen every Monday. They usually last a couple hours, and they're a real highlight of my week, and it's been a lovely way to check in with everyone and see everyone and just start the week in a really positive way when it's not been very easy to, you know? So I want to thank everyone that's been in that, and I'm looking forward to seeing everyone else that might join us in the future. And then we move on to She's Private. And of course, with this, you get all of the previous benefits, but you also get a private Zoom chat. And then we go on to She's a Producer, which gives you all the benefits from the previous tiers. Plus, you become an associate producer of the show. How exciting. And you also get some personal video messages about any topic you'd like, kind of like a cameo, and maybe like a voicemail message to someone if you'd like, or a bedtime story read to you, whatever, something like that. We'll work it out. And that brings us to the toppermost of the poppermost, the most exclusive tier. She's an executive. And with that, you become an executive producer of the show. And to that, I'd like to thank Brian Necht and Lindsay Rose, the people's candidate, for being executives. And with that, you get all the previous benefits plus a whole lot more. Anyway, there's a lot more to check out, to digest, and to refuse, perhaps, on patreon.com/Craig and Friends. So head on over there now. And also, because I almost forget to say this most of the time, although lately I've been better about it, please hit subscribe or follow on your iTunes app, podcast app, Spotify app, any of the apps, whatever app you use to listen to the show, hit the follows and the stuffs. And also, please rate and review the show. Of course, a 5-star rating is the most sophisticated of reviews, and you are a sophisticated crowd, so it only fits. Okay, now that we've gotten that taken care of, let's get into the Hot Dog Club presentation of my chat with Priyanka.
A Russian ballerina, stomping on a bureaucrat, a perky suburban housewife who just got into scat. It's whimsically volatile.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Lovely to see you. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I feel good. I'm asymptomatic. I'm clear to go out to the world tomorrow.
Oh, good.
I'm very fortunate that my COVID journey wasn't as traumatic as a lot of other people.
I'm sure that must have been terrifying to get the diagnosis. Now, can you tell me what happened around the time when everyone figured that they had to get checked out?
Oh, baby. It was basically like the way that I think it happened. I mean, it's inevitable. Like, we were all going to get COVID at one time. And which is not true, but because I got it, I can say it.
right. You can say there was no other way that it could have happened.
I can say it.
Because otherwise you're going to say I wasn't careful enough or something like that.
I definitely was not careful enough. I mean, the way I got it, I was being careful. It was with Brooklyn. Brooklyn Heights gave me COVID.
Yes. Well, she's, you know, listen, she's all sweetness and light on TV, but as you know, just an absolute terror.
She's pissed that I am calling myself the Queen of the North. So no wonder she gave me COVID. Okay. No wonder.
There you go. The truth is coming out. Yeah.
So I got it. She was technically part of my social bubble because we were on tour together. But what had happened was I did a photo shoot with her after she went to a bar last month or 2 Mondays ago now, and she got it from somebody. And then they said the symptoms show up late, so you don't know if you have it or not until 5 days in.
Yeah.
She started feeling her symptoms on like the Saturday, and I got all these text messages. And by that point, I had already been out to another bar. I was hanging out with somebody.
Yeah.
I gave it to them. It's all a big mess, but I'm fully recovered now.
That's the important thing. Yeah, and Brooke's doing okay as well, right? I mean, she can't taste or smell anything, but, you know.
Whatever. She has no taste anyway. Who cares?
And I was going to wait till later to talk about how we all know how vicious she was on the set, but that's fine. We don't have to get into it now.
We can get into it. We could talk about whatever you want, honey.
Well, you know, I like to do an intro for everyone, so let me do that. And the intro can come at any point in the show, so this is a perfect time for it. She used to be referred to in certain circles as Canada's Hannah Montana, but then she blew her pom-pom out and let it swing free on the Drag Race stage. Dear listeners, put your toque on and load up on Tim Hortons, because on this episode of Whimsically Volatile, we have the fabulous queen from the Great White North, currently convalescing from asymptomatic COVID. Please put your hands together and help me wish a warm and wet Whimsically Volatile welcome to, what's her name? That's right, it's none other than Priyanka!
Hey, this music,
right?
Ooh, it's so spooky. It's like Halloween edition.
Yeah, exactly. This is the disco theme
I love
to Friday the 13th part 3.
I felt it. It was spooky, ooky, kooky.
Are you a big Halloween person? Do you enjoy this month?
I love Halloween. I love the way it makes me feel. I love trick-or-treating, even though I'm almost 30. I love it all. I love Halloween. It was kind of like, it's every drag queen's first escape to drag. Not me, though. I started drag on my birthday party, but that's what they say. Brooklyn started drag on Halloween.
Oh, right. That's right. Now, when you did start, what was the situation? What was the first time in drags?
Well, the idea was put in my head at my birthday party. I was turning 26 or 27, I think. 26. And my drag mother, Ecstasy Love, was like, you should do drag. And I said, let me just give it a go, give it a try. And I took a couple months to, you know, try on some makeup, make
sure.
Some contacts, get built up. And then all of a sudden, boom, Miss Priyanka Witt was born on July 5th, 2020, which is my ex-boyfriend's birthday.
Oh, okay. On 2016, wasn't it?
I meant to say 2017.
Listen, it's okay. Know. Listen, you were.
I have COVID. Please.
I know. Forgive me. Forgive me for being so praying. I know. It's cruel. Well, now you're seeing the cruel intentions of my show. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Your show's so fun. I love your show.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a delight having you on.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure. And it was a delight watching you on this season. And I'm looking forward to when you can tour again so you can come to L.A.
That's right. L.A. L.A. Yeah, I want to come to LA. I love LA. I've been to LA a couple times. Everyone's so cool there. Everyone's so relaxed there. Everyone's
sure.
Just doing their damn thing and being just cute and sexy. And I'm cute and sexy, so I should be added to that.
Come join the fellow cute and sexy people.
That's right. Yeah, I'll be there soon. Don't you worry, little heart.
Now, you're going back on the tour, right?
Back again. I'm announcing it today. I have to get into drag to do a little video for it, but I'm announcing that I'm going to be back on the tour. There's only one more date, one more stop, 4 shows to do.
Also known as the best date, because you're going to be back. See, that's the good thing about it.
You know what? Rita and Bobo are probably so pissed that I'm coming back, bitch, because I get to come back and be like, I'm the winner, baby! I'm the winner!
And it's thrilling to be the first winner of Canada's Drag Race, right?
It is the best. It's the best season to win of the entire show, because not only is it the first season of Canada's Drag Race, but it was something fresh in the midst of all the Drag Race seasons that were already happening. Plus, because of characters like Lemon and characters like Jeffrey Boyer Chapman and characters like Mr. Jimbo, it was so talked about. So to be able to walk away the winner of this amazing viral season of Canada's Drag Race is the win, honey. It's the win.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's a great attitude to take from it in this time, because during this time.
Yeah, but I have to say, listen, because of this time is why it was so watched and so talked about. No one was busy anymore. We all got to sit down and watch a little gay thing to make us happy.
And we needed it. We needed a little hour of joy.
We need more gay things.
What's the gay things like in the Toronto there? Because, you know, my parents are Canadian, so I have a special affinity for all things Canadian.
Oh, no way. You know, in Toronto, it's nice. We're all locked away right now. No, actually, at the live restaurants are still open.
Yeah.
The capacities are lower, but everyone loves me.
So it's perfect. What could be bad about that?
I will no longer be going out. I have to kind of take a stand, especially because I got COVID. I need to I'm fine. I'm not contagious. I can't give it to people anymore, but I could still get it in, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. I become
susceptible or something. Yeah.
Sure. Whatever the fucking word
I think
is.
That's the technical term. Yeah.
The medical term.
Sure.
But everything's open. You can go out and have a drink if you want to, but I have to say, I can go to an empty bar and have a drink.
Well, there you go. And what is your favorite drink?
My favorite drink is, right now, it's vodka Diet Coke. Very weird, I know, but it hasn't always been. Let me sit you down and tell you about my drinking.
Please, please. I'd love to hear a history.
I love drinking. Oh my God, it's so much fun. There's a journey. It started, and I was trying to avoid hangovers.
Yeah.
So I would drink double vodka waters.
Interesting. You know, vodka water is also Brooke's drink, or was anyway.
Was. She's changed.
Oh, okay.
That girl has, fame has changed her.
It's true. You know, it's true. We're trying to protect her image, and I don't think we can do it anymore.
She gave me COVID. We're tearing it down today. also love double vodka soda pineapples. That's when I wanted to get it down faster because it was a little sweet.
Sure. And also pineapple is good for certain things.
It makes your semen taste better.
Exactly.
And you know what? When you're the only person tasting your semen, what do? Make it taste good.
Exactly right. You got to think of yourself.
And I also love now double vodka Diet Cokes. But washing that all away, tequila is what I love. I love doing shots of tequila. Get me fucked up and get ready to go.
You have a new love announcement.
I've always loved tequila because people are always like, oh, yuck, tequila. And I'm like, I'll show you, bitch. And I was just like, suck it back.
Well, I like the trend in all of those variations, that double vodka.
Double. Oh, my God. What's the point of a single? Get it in your body.
And you haven't had a drink this whole time. When can you have a cocktail again?
No, I haven't had a drink. I can have a cocktail maybe this weekend.
I think that's only fair. I think that's only right.
A celebratory. I'll give my body a couple more days to heal.
Yeah.
Even though the medics say that I'm all healed up. But I think I should, you know, who trusts those people anyways?
it's never a problem to be too cautious.
Just let's chill for a second. Ain't nobody got to be getting shit face plaster out of isolation, you know?
Yeah.
Slow down, girl.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Especially after this enforced break, because maybe your tolerance is slightly lower. So it'll only be like 6 or 7 double vodkas.
You get me. You understand me. I always have.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging. Now, you know, on the show, we talk a lot about your horniness, which is great. Very relatable. Now, I haven't had sex since February 13th because of being terrified of various things and coming close to people.
What? Tell me why you haven't had sex.
Well,
because of COVID.
Yeah, because I've been scared of and I've had a couple of, you know, really attractive offers that have been very difficult to refuse, but it took me a while to even sort of get out of the apartment.
Okay, so it's February, it's October, and so you've had sex in a while.
Yeah, a long time. Too long.
Have you been masturbating a lot at least?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, loads. Yeah, loads. And
loads. Load after load after load.
Load after load after load. Yeah. Listen, you don't want to get rid of stamina or anything like that, too. So you got to make sure that, you know, when the time comes again, you know, you're ready for proper service. Not like, oh, I'm sorry, I haven't had sex in 8 months or whatever.
Yeah, and then you just like come and then you're too sensitive to do it again. Yeah, I get it.
Right, exactly. No.
Been there. Yeah. Hon. I love a double comer. I'm always so shocked at like a double load giver. I'm like, another one?
I know.
Wow!
I know. It's like, it really is. That's a unicorn. Yeah. And that's the vodka that you're drinking. For those not viewing this right now, there's a large tub of vodka.
But
I like that you didn't acknowledge it. You just took it.
Is there a video component to this? Was I supposed to be in drag?
No, you weren't supposed to be in drag. But so what I'll do is probably use clips from this for promo.
Oh, great. Use whatever you want. Hi, everyone.
Hey. And then at the end, we could do the promo now if you want. Well, we could do
the
promo.
Get the real me.
Yeah. It's the real
me.
Yeah. What's her name?
Priyanka.
And this is the real one. Yeah.
This is the real me. Yeah. And welcome to my diary. You think you know, but you have no idea. This is the diary of Priyanka.
And wait to hear the revelations about Brooke.
Love her. Love her.
Yeah. She is,
I really do.
No, she is fabulous. Yeah. It's always the lovely ones that it's fun to say that they're secretly evil backstage,
yeah.
You know? Because otherwise, yeah, the ones we know that are really evil, we don't like to talk about them.
No, but speaking of your horniness, I'm happy that you've been spreading the loads around.
Well, thank
you. Proud of you. Proud of you, kid.
I appreciate that, dear. Now, there's been a lot of FaceTime sexuals happening. So I've been seeing someone in England virtually.
What's their name?
Oh, their name is Ada.
Hi, Ada.
Ada's terrific. Yeah, and we also chat like every day, too. So it's really nice. And we've not met in person. So
that's hot. So wait, how does the phone sex work? Do you like set up the cam and then just like jerk it?
Totally. Well, there's a few variations. There's the sort of spontaneous, we're on the phone chatting, we're talking about something else, and then someone says something kind of like, a little lurid, and then that's all I need if I hear that. Or
give me some examples. Like what? Fuck you, I want to fuck in your fucking cock. Yeah. I want your fucking cock.
That's remarkable. Have you been listening in on these calls? You have, haven't you?
I mean, I'm everywhere. Call me now, as they say.
You do your research, and I appreciate that. It'll be something like, it's not even like, what are you wearing? It'll go straight to filth. It'll be like something about your asshole, or maybe we invoke a third person kind of thing, a scenario. Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
Oh, like, our blonde friend is here. You know, that kind of thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, look, wait, see, I'm getting the decency alarm.
No, what is that?
No, it's someone from Arlington, Mass. I don't know, and I'm not answering that. I should have had that off, so forgive my lapse in professionalism.
Forgettable.
So it'll be like, our blonde friend is here. So sometimes the play involves like multiple other partners and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, y'all freaky. You like group sex.
Well, and you know, and the funny thing is, I've never had group sex, but I'm sort of in the last 2 years, I realized I'm queer, not just so I like a lot of things. Queer,
yeah,
slash
whatever.
Pan.
Yeah.
So and she's very into the kink, and I like that, and I'm kind of leaning into it. And so I've always been fascinated with it. Beautiful. And now it's maybe like going to happen. So perhaps, maybe eventually, my first threesome is around the corner.
Wanted to say something. I'm so proud of you. Listen, sex is a vulnerable thing, and you being able to go on a sexual journey and be open to try new things, why the fuck not? Get your rocks off.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I feel like it's fun being a bit of a late starter to the all that stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Then plunge in. When did you first have sex?
I lost my virginity to a girl named Ashley in grade 8. It was fun. Having sex with women is beautiful. It's so much easier than having gay sex, first and foremost. There's nothing like hearing a girl moan while you're just fucking her.
Sure.
However, due to being born this way, I am a gay man, and I love having sex with men. Having sex with men is, it's so much fun. But I had sex with four women in my life. So I'm not a gold star gay.
Okay, sure.
And now I have sex with men only.
Was it a sharp cutoff once you discovered the joys of the male?
There was a crossover period where I was having sex with both. I was also like the same as you. It's just all a journey, right? It's like, why not?
No, exactly.
Who cares? If I'm attracted to you, let's just fucking have sex.
Yeah.
Whatever. At the time I wasn't in relationships that were monogamous. So who cares? I couldn't
agree more. And if it wasn't for the COVID terror, I would be a little bit more active. And I'll get back to it. You know what I mean? We're gradually working our way back into...
We're working our way back to the crack.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about. Working your way back in.
What are you drinking? Is there alcohol in that?
It wouldn't be great. I should say whiskey, but it's iced tea.
Iced tea. Okay.
Yeah. No, just iced tea. I'm not a drinker. I like other things like psychedelics and stuff, but I'm not a drinker. It doesn't agree with me. Even though my parents are Canadian, so that doesn't make any sense, right?
Not at all. What kind of psychedelics do you like?
I love acid and shrooms sometimes, but I find shrooms can be kind of a more complicated, potentially dark journey.
Very much so hit and miss.
Yeah, exactly. How about you? Do you like any of that stuff?
No, I'm not a big drug person. I just like drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Drugs, I'm nervous about. I'm nervous about drugs. I've had like people around me die because of drugs, so I'm very scared. And I don't want that to be my legacy, because even if like you do like one bump of bad coke, you could die, and then it's like, Priyanka, overdose, so it's okay.
Right.
That's not fun.
Drug addled, like there's always like a new, yeah.
Washed up kids TV host, overdose.
Well, especially with the former kids TV host, you really got to stay away from certain substances.
I gotta be careful. Yeah. I'll just keep drinking.
Perfect. And that's acceptable for Canadian TV kids hosts. America, they're working on that. Now, the show is called The Zone. Is that right?
It is called The Zone. It's still on.
Oh, okay. All right. So they're still waiting for you to come back. And maybe you'll make a guest appearance?
I would love to make a guest appearance. I think it's kind of the right thing to do at this point. Like, I know why they're holding back. Like, what the hell's wrong with them?
No, I know.
But I quit over a year ago. It's been a year since I've been there.
You had a lapse in confidence, understandably, in the middle of the show because it's a very high stakes, high pressure situation. And then you had a little bad run of luck. That must have been quite something to get into that. Were you at all questioning the choice before that, or was that the first time that you sort of were in the shit?
That was the first time. That was like it was episode 7. It was the pageant episode where I was like crying and shit. That was the first time I ever questioned it because I was able to be so good. Like even when I was in the bottom at Snatch Game, I killed that lip sync. So whatever, fuck everyone. But then, you know, when life wants to humble you, life's going to humble you. And that's exactly what happened. I don't want to say I got overconfident because that's not ever how I am or who I am.
Sure.
But there is something to be said about like you think you're fine, you think you're safe, and then you get something to really like jolt you and fix you up a little bit. And then I was like, okay, well, this is what I need to, you know, work on and be better at. And I was like, shit, I quit my kids' TV job to be here. And I fucked up. This sucks. This really sucks. Because I was like, I'm going to have to leave here being okay with placing 5th or 4th or whatever, or 6th, and that's my time on Drag Race. Like, that's a hard pill to swallow.
Sure. Like you said, your legacy, if that's how your mind works, and you can see like sort of ahead, you know, you can map it all out, and that doesn't help for catastrophizing.
No, exactly. I mean, I was very scared, and I had no plans on telling anybody on Drag Race that I quit my job to be there. I never did. I didn't want to be that girl because it's always so annoying. Like when someone's like, I quit my full-time job that pays my bills to be here. I'm like, no, why would you do that?
That's crazy.
Don't do that, you idiot. Oh my God, you're not that good at drag, man. So for me to have that moment was like a true moment of vulnerability for sure.
We do have those things in life. You know, it's not like a giant catastrophe, but they're like things that humble you no matter what, even if you're not being overly confident. You know, I mean, this whole year could be a good example of that in many ways.
Yeah.
So it's all about how you rebound from it. Not that it's easy to do that all the time, but how long was it until you started to feel back to where you were before that crisis of confidence?
In TV land, it was the week after when we had the makeover challenge, because I had somebody who was my makeover subject be a fan of mine to be like, you were in the bottom? Huh? Like, what? Like, what are you?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. They were like, listen, back home in Toronto, we're all like rooting for you. Like, there's no other winner but you. So you go win this crown for us. Then I won the makeover challenge. And that was my new like breath of fresh air that I was like, I'm just going to have fun.
Yeah.
Fuck this. Fuck right. The judges. Fuck everything. I just want to have fun.
That's the key to getting out of your head. And it's lovely too that you got a reminder of having a fan there.
Yeah, I was very lucky.
So back to sex stuff.
Oh, yeah.
When was the first time after the crisis hit that you had sex? How did you approach it?
After the COVID crisis?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're assuming that I've been getting pounded.
You expressed a little bit of shock at my lack of pounding or pounding. So I assumed from that.
Poundy. I met someone that I'm currently dating that I've been having sex with.
Wow. Is this breaking news that you're in a thing? You're in a dating thing?
I think. I think fans don't care. Like fans are just like, we don't care that you're dating somebody, bitch. Like we still want you. Like those boy fans are very aggressive.
Yeah.
Which I fucking love. I'm like, come get this cookie, honey.
Exactly. This doesn't mean stop.
Hey, in the Priyanka world, in the Boyanka world, they just do what they want to do. But yeah, no, I am dating somebody who's an amazing guy and we're having sex. It's great.
That's fantastic. Where did you meet?
We met on a patio, actually, at Cruise and Tango's in Toronto. And it's cute.
I'm really happy for you. That's wonderful. And I think everyone will be happy for you as well.
Everyone loves a dating story. Why not? That's what happens. I told everybody that I wasn't going to date anybody during this whole thing. And then all of a sudden I meet somebody like, oh, shit. Oh, Christ.
Yeah. It's always like that, though. You know, if you're like out, like, I got to find someone to date, it's not really going to happen. Or you're going to end up saddled with some creep. You write it off and look what happens.
Exactly. So I don't know. I'm just taking it day by day, living my life, being me, not losing myself.
Yeah. And then I'm getting the sense that once things are a little bit looser in terms of restrictions or health concerns, that that doesn't preclude partying or having fun with other people.
We'll see. There's lots of conversations to happen. Every relationship is different, so we'll see.
That's okay. So that conversation has not happened yet, but probably will. Okay. Now, is this indicative of your prior relationships? Have you sort of been a little
I've never had an open relationship. I'm also a very jealous person, so I don't know how I would get there. I also don't know, like, I'm open to it.
Yeah.
I'm an open-minded human being, honestly. But I have a tendency to get jealous because I've never been in something long enough to solidify a really good foundation. I think in relationships, if you could build a good foundation, then you can be more open to more sexual things without getting jealous because you know that you have your foundation to rely on.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about, have you ever had a threesome? Because we revealed I have not, so.
I love these questions. I have had a threesome before. I love sex. I think sex is so beautiful. I love experimenting. I love just all of it. Bring it on, sister. But I have, yes, I have. I've had a threesome. I think I've had a foursome, too. There's been four people in the room.
Fantastic. That's great.
I don't love them, but they're fine. If I'm like, if I'm drunk, bitch, I'm turning the party into threesome. But if it's like a sober threesome, I'm like, this is awkward. This is, I'm like, somebody's the favorite in the room.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Well, and the situation I'm planning at some point, it would be like sort of us against the world, if you will.
That's what I always said, that even before my current partner, I was like, if I'm going to be having threesomes with my partner, that person who's stepping in is our treat.
Yes.
It's a double, it's a tag team, bitch.
Yeah, right. They're our guest, our guest.
Be our guest.
Right. And we love to be very hospitable hosts and all that, but it's, you know, it's
oh,
a,
yeah.
a defined
but we're
thing.
In this together. We're both going to pound you. You don't, it's not a one-sided situation.
Right, right. Exactly. So when was your first boyfriend then? And actually, let's scratch that and say, when was the first time you were with another fella?
I love these questions. They're
good.
So great. the first time I ever met a boy, his name is Dan. He's Australian. It was a Grindr hookup. I downloaded Grindr on my phone very secretly. I was in the closet still. And I remember him coming over for a blowjob. And I was so nervous. Oh,
sure.
My God.
Yeah.
And he knocked on the door. I remember checking through the peephole. And just seeing this beautiful Australian man outside my door, I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Did a Hemsworth brother just show up? I was like, oh my God. He came in, we chatted. He was immediately charming because of that fucking accent. And we just talked and talked and talked. We didn't even have the hookup. And then we had the whole thing be like, oh, like, should I come back like later? And I'm like, oh my God, I remember having to go to like a family get together and like at the family get together from seeing him and then seeing him again. I was like, my heart was beating in my ears. I was so nervous. I couldn't even eat.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
And then finally I met back up with him. And then we dated for a couple months. It was really, really great. It was a really fun relationship because it was my first one.
Yeah.
There was something about like being in the closet that was really fun. There was something about like just this secretness to it all that was great.
Sure.
That then ended up being quite damaging because now when, you know, a partner isn't like being like more open with me, I get insecure because I'm like, you know, your first relationship really damages you in many ways. And then he had to go back to Australia, but didn't tell me he was going back to Australia. So he just up and left and never came back.
Oh, that's always good for the abandonment stuff. That's great.
Oh, I have some abandonment issues that I work through, and that's just it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that just the way it goes?
Isn't that
Thanks,
just
Dan.
The fun part of things and stuff? Yeah.
Thanks, Dan.
It's also the fun, too, of being isolated, too. it just aggravates and chafes all those little things that we work on and struggle with, that that your logic is like, no, that's not how it is. But the, like the animal part, or some say the inner child, is like, I don't understand what you're saying. I'm going to run with this.
Yeah.
You mentioned being in the closet. And as you talked about on the show, your dad didn't know until you announced on the show.
Yep.
So what was the response like afterwards?
I mean, he's cool with it. Like, he's stomached it now, right? Like, I mean, he's lucky. He had his son come out on national TV. He has all these people praising his son. I win the whole show. He really gets the easy way out. I feel more bad for the people who, like, don't get that storyline, right? They get the storyline that, like, their dad still doesn't know, or their dad or mom, like, is giving them a hard time. Like, in my world, it's fine. My dad knows, he's comfortable. I get to go home and everything's normal. But I just feel bad for, like, the other people out there. It sucks.
Yeah, I know. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. And, yeah. You know, we've seen many times on Drag Race, too, where there's people whose families have not, you know, there isn't the happy end of the story.
Yeah, exactly. I just want people to, like, use my story as, like, a confidence boost to come out to their parents, but also know that, like, it's your chosen family around you that really matter.
Sure.
Because that's the tea.
It is indeed. What was growing up like?
Growing up was fun. I have three brothers, Steve, Mike, and Chris. They're amazing. I always definitely felt like the odd one out, but I never really cared that I was the odd one out. I did have a phase where I wished I was better at sports and wished I was on sports teams, because I was very jealous that my brothers would always get new clothes and new shoes.
They're smart outfits too, those.
They're great. Like a nice colorful jersey, a sensible pant.
Yeah. Rugged shoes, you know.
Rugged shoes. They get to be around boys all the time. So there was a little bit of jealousy in that realm of things, but yeah. It was fine. I was able to express myself. My parents understood that I was different, and they let me kind of express that. I did want to take dance classes, and they said no, but that could have been a financial thing. I don't really blame them for it, but because I get to dance all the time now.
Sure.
But growing up was fine. I definitely was like, had all my girlfriends, they'd come over and we'd like dance around in my room. But even then I was still like in the closet, because like you still have to have like your aha moment where you, it's one thing to like act out the stereotypes at what being a gay man is, but it's another thing to actually fully realize that you are attracted to men, to the same sex. Like that's a whole other journey all in itself.
Right. And, you know, it was very sort of like late in the game for me to realize that I liked both things, or all things, or however you want to describe it or define it. To grapple with that when you're younger, too, it's a whole nother thing.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely really weird. I mean, I didn't really come to terms with it until my 20s. So it was quite nerve-wracking. I think the main thing that held me back so much of coming out was I was worried that I wouldn't get jobs because I was gay. Like every single year it becomes more and more accepting and there's more representation. But even like 5 years ago, people were nervous to come out as gay because they didn't want, which is weird because like I'm a kid's TV host and like we're so flamboyant and blah, 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 blah. But even in that space, you just don't know. You're so scared. You think that your problems are the biggest problems, right?
Well, yeah. And it's hard to gain any kind of other perspective on it because you can't really talk about it with a lot of people, or at least people that would know the situation. And I imagine that must have been a lot of pressure, being the host of a kids TV show. And how did that come about?
I think someone's knocked on my door.
Oh, no, that's,
hold on.
Yeah, let them in. We love special guests.
I mean, I can't let them in. I'm in isolation.
That's right. It's a test.
Hi. Oh, look at all these things. Just reminding the signature. Okay, cool. There you go. Thank you.
What'd you get?
I've never said I'm going to open like a sex toy.
That'd be great. This is the right show.
Hold on. There's always a card. Here we go. Priyanka, thank you for taking the time to participate in our orientation. You've definitely made us stand out and put us on the map of fantastic colleges. What's your name? Winner. Where's this from? What fucking school is this from? First of all, thank you for much. Congratulations on being Canada's. Enjoy this O week. Oh, they sent me a check.
Hey. Woo! I love that school. That's the best school there is.
Oh, Innis College.
Were you doing the rounds in like a virtual orientation or something like that?
I could have. I might have been. Where's Innis College? Let's see what the city says. Toronto? Oh, I did a panel with Lemon and Kine from the show.
Oh, okay.
Everything makes sense now. Oh my God, look at all these things. Aren't you so jealous of all my gifts?
I am.
One day I'm going to send you a gift. Don't you worry.
Oh, thank you, darling. That'd be lovely.
Oh, magnets, stickers, tattoos, all of it.
And they gave you a fanny pack as well.
They gave me a fanny pack. Ugh. Oh, this is from Bedell. He was actually one of the special guest judges. He made me a a onesie. He made me a special onesie. Thanks, Bedell. Okay, I'm back. Sorry, I'm back. I'm back. I'm back.
No,
I'm
it's
back.
Fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's nice to see the gift giving in action and the appreciation flowing in from all corners.
Some kid's messaging me. Doing a podcast, BRB.
People are interested.
People have things to say, things to do, people to see. I am back. I'm so sorry that that took so long.
Don't worry about it. No, I always like an unexpected twist in the show. I've sometimes gotten to food deliveries. You know, there's all kinds of things that happen. I want to talk about the kid show. So we're talking about it must have been a pressurized feeling on top of the already difficult thing of just being in the closet and accepting all that stuff. Then you're hosting a kid show. Was there any kind of like vibe around the office or the shooting thing that was any type of homophobic?
Yes.
Yeah.
But the homophobia came from a gay person because he was trying to protect me. It was internalized homophobia because he grew up gay. He's an older man. He grew up gay in the TV world and he had to hide his sexuality for a long time.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I didn't understand it until recently, like why he was the way he was. I was so annoyed and I was like, this doesn't make sense that my gay boss is being this way. But then I had a really good heart to heart with it. And he was like, thank you for calling me out when I was being this way, because I shouldn't have been that way towards you. So it wasn't like homophobia in like a way that I need to file like a human rights complaint. It was just, sometimes you have to understand that like, it's not like they let me do it. I was able to do both, but there was just some struggles along the way.
A lot of times now, people take a tremendous offense at things that elders do without maybe looking at the perspective or the context rather in which they grew up. And it's not to say that it's okay or excuses or makes okay the behavior or what they do or what they say. But I think it does help to consider a time that they were in, that they were coming up in.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard when you're going through it, because I basically told them, I was like, listen, bitch, I need to know if you're fighting for me or fighting against me. If you're fighting against me, this is a different conversation. And then their tone switched, because then you get into other issues.
Sure. So addressing it head on kind of made it.
Exactly. Addressing it head on and actually like showing them how serious the issue is. Like, be careful of your words, bitch, because they're going to come back and get you.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, hi. This is Brooklyn Heights, the Queen of the North. I am a big fan of the show, and I was just sitting here, and something just popped into my head, and I just didn't know, so I thought I would ask, are you gay? Because I can't really tell, and I can usually tell, but I can't tell with you, so yeah, let me know. Bye.
So you must have been performing, or interested in performing, at a very young age.
Yeah, all the time. I always wanted to be Beyoncé.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Always, 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 always. So yeah, the kids' TV was a good outlet for it, because I got to do like raps and videos and dance a little bit, interview people, which I loved. I got to host, I got to improv, I got to do so many different things. So it kind of did lend itself hand in hand with drag.
Sure.
And Drag Race. It was the perfect training for Drag Race.
When was the first time you remember watching Drag Race?
Season 9 was my first season I ever watched, and I was absolutely like taken. I was like, this is cool. What is this? I wonder what this show is. But that was before I even started drag, so there was not even the thought of me wanting to do drag yet.
Do you think that Drag Race kind of influenced the decision to do it, or?
No, it actually didn't. It didn't. It was my like genuine love for drag, going out to the bars and watching it. Like the TV drag didn't. It wasn't until I started doing well in Toronto that it started to become more of a reality that, hey, I could work really hard and get a visa and be on the American version. And then they announced Canada's Drag Race, and I was like, Jesus.
One less trip to the offices, which is nice. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, when you started going to the bars, what were the bars that you were going to?
Cruise and Tango's, Woody's, O'Grady's, The Drink in Toronto, all these different bars had so many. So I was watching drag all the time. I loved it. I just couldn't get enough.
Do you remember the first show that really sort of grabbed you?
I don't remember the first show specifically, but I remember the first performers, Ivory Towers in Toronto. Me and my friend Amanda would go and see her all the time. And then we'd start to go out on like odd days, because like Ivory would be there on all like the main days, like the Saturdays and the Fridays, and then we started to go on like Sundays and Thursdays, and then we got introduced to Ecstasy Love, who is now my drag mama. Mm-hmm. And just watching her perform, I was like, Jesus Christ, this is so fun.
Now, how long was it then until you started doing the drag? Because I know that it's a fairly meteoric rise, right? It was about about 4 years
from the start
to, yeah.
I'm only in 3 years now.
Oh, 3 years. Yeah. That's my math skills. So there you go.
I think I moved to the Village in May 2016, did a whole year not being a drag queen in this area.
Yeah. And the Village is the Village, that's the name of the neighborhood, or is it the nickname?
The name of the gay area.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then I, a year later, so it was like a year of me like partying, getting to know the queens, getting to know the bars. I would be like, Pride would show up and I would just like walk into the gay bars because I know all the security. and then it was, so that 2016, I moved down here. 2017, I started drag. And then 2020, I won Canada's Drag Race.
That's right. Yeah. Forgive me for making it 4 years. It seems like an eternity.
How dare you?
Again, you're seeing the sort of sinister undertones that power this show. Okay. So what was the first number that you did? Because we kind of talked about your first look, and you displayed a sort of interpretation of that on the show with the Stevie Nicks sort of inspired
look. Yes. So that is, okay. So I actually missed the assignment. I didn't realize it was first time in drag. I thought it was like, send us photos of your first couple of times in drag.
Sure.
So that was actually my third time in drag, the one that I did on the TV show. But the first time I was in drag was, I did a Beyonce song, Freakum Dress, and it went into Venus by Lady Gaga. There's no connection in the mix there. I don't know why I chose that. But I was just giving it my all. I practiced in my living room. I just made it happen.
Yeah. Well, listen, the spirit compelled you. That's the only reason you need to fuse two of those songs together, right?
The Miss Cleo spirit compelled me.
Yes, exactly.
Call her now, honey.
Call her now. Call her now.
Or don't call her, honestly, because that call is so cheap. I don't know about that call, honestly.
Well, I mean, yeah, the prediction was definitely different, I think, if you did get in touch with her.
The call declined.
Fair enough.
Don't call.
Did you have another character that you were thinking about doing?
I was thinking of doing Miranda Sings. I brought her, but I was so fixated on the West Indian thing that I wanted to do it, and then that's what happened. And then I done fucked up. I'm happy I did bad in Snatch Game, though. If it sent me home, we'd have a different conversation. Yeah. Right now, you probably wouldn't even want to interview me. Like, who the fuck is this top eight bitch? I'm happy it happened.
Well, listen, there's a long history, a legacy of terrific performers who've tanked Snatch Game. Of course, Brooke.
Brooke is a great example of that.
Which leads me, of course, to your fabulous Celine Dion looks and lip sync.
Fucking nailed it.
You did. And are you a big Celine fan in general?
I wouldn't say I'm a big fan, but I love her.
The other thing I loved was your Ali X lip sync, in particular, the miming of the percussion bits, which I think also floated Ali X's boat as well.
I love that because that was, so the I Drove All Night is very fun. It's very gymnastics. It's very drag. The Ali X one was, I'm more proud of that one because that was just me being me. Like that was the full realization of me just being like, fuck this place. I'm going to nurse my drink and untux, get a little bit of a buzz going on and just perform the fuck out of this song. And that's why I had so much fun doing it.
Yeah. And what was your drinking on Tuck? Did you have like, do you put a selection?
Vodka.
They gave me vodka.
Yeah, they gave me vodka. There were some days where that drink was stiff, bitch. I was like, ooh. What the, oh, she's a little buzz right now.
What other stuff do you listen to? You mentioned Beyonce.
I love Beyonce. I love Chloe and Halle. I love Emily King right now. I listen to just so much Beyonce. This morning I was listening to Beyonce singing my little heart out.
Yeah.
I like listening to the Pretty Reckless. I'm on a Taylor Momsen kick right now. I love listening to Gaga. I love listening to, it's hard listening to like boy music because we can perform it if we want to, but
I know what you're saying. Like it's sort of what you do sort of then kind of influences and dictates what you're likely to listen to.
Exactly.
Have you gotten into Rina Sawayama?
No, what's that?
Oh my God. You're going to fucking right love Rina Sawayama. She's so good.
How do you spell that?
R-I-N-A.
R-I-N-A.
And then S-A.
Found it.
Oh, great. Perfect. Yeah.
What album do you need to listen to?
The album Sawayama.
Oh, it's the only one here.
Yeah, well, she has a couple EPs, and those are great, too. But this is her first album, and it's really a fantastic journey, the entire thing. It's one of those full great albums. The styles are all over the place. So, yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. And there's some high camp in there, too.
Love that shit. I'll throw it on while I repack for this tour. All my shit's everywhere in the apartment right now.
Now, how long have you been at that apartment?
Since 2016.
You were on the kid show for how long?
7 years.
When you started going to the bars and stuff, did you ever have any worry that you were going to be sort of seen and outed during that time?
I was seen quite often. I was like, are you Suki from YTV? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, wow, you're here. It almost like made for a safer space for some people that were seeing me there, because they're like, he's just like us. And that was a really good moment for like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which is why I was so happy to be able to like share that I was both like Priyanka and YTV Suki, because it gave that like normalcy to people, like, oh, I can come out, live a double life too, like,
sure.
It's normal now.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Are any of those clubs on Bloor Street? I was in Toronto briefly, and I was amazed at the length and breadth of Bloor Street and the clubs there.
Yeah, Bloor's amazing. Bloor, more in the West End, has better bars. They have like, I think it's shut down now, but what the fuck is it called? Clinton's? Clinton's is a good bar.
Uh-huh.
They have a shit ton of bars down Bloor, but I live closer to Church Street. There's not a lot of bars on Bloor and Church, but on Church Street is all the fun gay bars.
Okay.
You should come to one day.
I would love to.
Once we nab COVID. We're almost at a year of COVID. Isn't that wild?
I know, it is. It's insane. And although I find comfort in that, because I was talking to Ada actually, and I was like, okay, well, let's say it's 6 months from the lockdown initially. So we're that far into it. So that means that we're closer to the end of it.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we always kind of like reframe things to try to think of the positive. And of course, and you're in Canada with a leader that people don't hate. So that's good.
Yeah, they're okay with our leader. We have like in Ontario, we have like Doug Ford. Is his name Doug Ford? Yeah, Rob was his brother.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, Rob, the party guy.
Party guy. He was doing meth and stuff. And then we have Doug Ford, who's his brother, who's just as much of a fucking idiot. Like, all their guidelines are so stupid and doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, oh, yay.
Yeah.
Someone fix this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's tough. Politics are hard, honey.
Yeah, they are. They are. What was I going to say? So to your West Indian heritage, what was it like growing up? Sorry, what? This happens. You know, what am I going to do?
It happens. Our brains are shutting down.
That's what it is. It's the COVID fog. And I'm on ADD meds that there's a shortage of proper Adderall. So like the generic one I got, not so good. Not working that well. Yeah. So I'm meds free this morning.
Let's do it. Come on, ADD.
Come on. Work your magic, ADD.
Work, ADD. Come on, ADD.
On the show, you mentioned representation, and of course, representation,
yeah.
Your participation in the show and winning it, I think, is a very significant moment for Drag Race in general.
Yes, I think it's amazing. I mean, being West Indian in general, like, there's not a lot of like Guyanese people that have one thing. So I feel very proud to be that for a lot of people. There's so many people like me. There's so many minorities, especially in Canada and in the US and everywhere. And it's nice that I've won such a mainstream show, because I can just be that for people, which is amazing, because now they can go do it too. It's amazing, like the support I get. It's setting up a safe home for people. Like, that's what I love. I love that, like, you know, even before Drag Race, I would have a lot of brown people come out to Cruise and Tangos to watch me, to be like, oh my god, it's so cool that like Priyanka's here. I love that.
Now, what would be the breakdown of race at the clubs?
85% white, 10% black, 5% other.
Mm-hmm.
If that.
Recently, we heard a lot about the stuff in Chicago that was going on, and
was wild. I was like, I was watching the town hall, bitch. I was like, oof, oof.
What was the general vibe like at the clubs there? Was it friendlier? Because it is Canada.
You know what? Like, it is friendlier, and like a lot of the POC queens are the headliners here. When it came to the audience, there was a race issue. They were able to celebrate a person of color performer, but they weren't treating each other correctly in the audiences. There was an incident that happened at Woody's where I asked a brown guy his name, and a white guy yelled out, his name is Ranjeep. And I was like, oh, is that your name? And he's like, no, my name's Adam. And I was like, how are y'all how are y'all just so blatantly racist? But then I had a flashback. I was so proud to be gay and so proud to be out and about. But then I thought to my experiences in these bars before drag. And I was like, oh my God, before I was a drag queen, I was treated this exact same way. I just never saw it because my mom didn't raise me to see it. My mom didn't raise me to say, people are going to be racist. My mom was like, walk into the room and act like you all own it, bitch. So I never thought of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So seeing it as a drag queen firsthand made me realize how many people I need to help.
Now, what about seeing people that look like you in media beforehand? Do you remember?
Nobody. Nobody. Yeah. Who? Nobody. Because even a show like The Mindy Project, beside her was three white guys.
Right. Right.
You know, like yeah. Even it's just, it's tough because they want to get the brown girl her gig, but they also have to cast a bunch of white people around her to make it more relatable to the girls, which I get. We all want someone to relate to. Every show has different kinds of representation. Not everything has to be a Spice Girls, but yeah, we're onto something here. We're onto something.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you're certainly making a mark in that. What about your feelings of seeing movies like, I don't know, if you saw Short Circuit, there's a lot of 80s movies that are really problematic with the Indian characters.
Honestly, like, of course they're offensive and of course they're bad. At the time, I would laugh at those jokes. I would laugh at everything because that's what we were told was comedy. Now, obviously, we have to be more mindful of not setting up these stereotypes because not all Indian people talk the same. Not all Guyanese people talk the same. Not all Chinese people talk the same. So movies back then, I give them some grace. That was comedy back then. Even movies 10 years ago, I sure. Give them some grace. That was comedy that in that time. Does it make it okay? No, but we have to like keep educating ourselves because if you stop learning, you stop growing. Am I right, kids?
That's right. I'll answer for the kids. That's right. But let's talk more fun sex stuff.
Love fun sex stuff. Love.
Fun sex stuff is fun.
One time, the first time I ever bought him, he tried to shove it in without any lube and I fainted.
Oh my God, I would faint.
It hurt so bad. I cannot.
Oh.
It turned me off of bottoming for so long. I was like, I can't do this. This is too hard for me. I will not.
I can imagine. Now, my first time bottoming, the person almost just tried a little bit of spit and I went, oh, no, 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 no. We're using lube and condoms. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Also, like hookup bottoming is not the same as like boyfriend bottoming.
Right. Right.
Boyfriend bottoming is a safe space. It feels good every time. Hookup bottoming is hit and miss, bitch. Like, I'll never like walk away. I mean, there's only been a couple of times, but usually half the time I walk away being like, that was not worth the booty hole poundage I just got. No.
So do you prefer generally in a hookup being the pounder?
Yes. In a hookup, I like being the top. I mean, even generally, I prefer to be the top, but I'm more of a verse person. But
yeah, me too.
I don't like to say no. I don't like to say no. Like, just try things. Live a little.
So polite.
Why are you gonna just try one thing?
Yeah, Canadians. Look, if you're looking for a hookup, it's go for the Canadian because they just
go for the Canadian.
Yeah, they want to make sure everyone's having a good time and there's no problems. What was your worst Grindr meetup?
My worst Grindr meetup is. One time this guy came over. Oh my God. He looked so great in all of his pictures. I opened the door. He reeked of cigarettes and just like sat on my couch just talking for like 2 hours. And I was like, I fucking hate this.
Yeah.
I fucking hate this. I also had like one bad Grindr hookup where like I just like was attracted to him and then immediately I wasn't, like all in 5 minutes.
Oh yeah. Those are really weird, especially when they're at your place.
Yeah. But I'm happy now that I'm in something because I don't got to put up with that bullshit anymore. I have a consistent dick that I just love. I love that dick. That's a good dick.
Now, what do you do for dates? Because now it's kind of compromised in terms of places you can go. I know that maybe the restrictions are different in Toronto.
Yeah, like in Canada, we were able to go out for dinner and go to the bars and stuff. But now that we both got COVID, I think all of our dates are going to be, we're going to have to get creative.
Sure.
Board games. You know what the my friend Lisa, who lives in LA, told me to play like strip poker, but in the form of like pink beer pong.
Oh yeah,
where you put like a bunch of shots in the thing, and then on the bottom of the cup there's something. It's like you don't necessarily have to take off things, but like go over and like eat his ass for 20 seconds, go over and suck his dick,
yeah,
go bite his neck, like you write on the bottom of the cup. Oh, and that leads to sex. Oh my God, so fun.
It's perfect. Drinking and sex all in one activity. I think you've got it.
There's nothing like drunk sex with somebody you're into. Oh my God. Oh my God, it's the best. Get a little bit loose and you're like, ooh, baby. My favorite is like when you're at the club with somebody who you're into and you don't give a shit. Like, you guys just see each other in the room and that's just it. I love nights like those.
Yeah. So you're full pro PDA.
I'm pro PDA in the right situations. Like, I don't see why you should be ashamed of this person you're seeing. Like, put your arm around them, hold their hand, show them that they're yours. There's nothing wrong with that. There is time and place in terms of like kissing and making out and stuff. Like you're allowed to put a hand on them and have a conversation with somebody, whatever.
Yeah. But, and also at the, you know, at the bar or something like that, making out, great.
Yeah. Maybe not at like a restaurant table.
Well, maybe certain restaurants, but you know, that's all a case by case basis. I do miss being at like Precinct and just making out with a stranger. That won't happen for a long time, but we'll get back there.
No, making out with strangers won't happen for a long time. There was one stranger who I made out with, and I will never forget this stranger. He had a denim jean jacket on and was behind me while I was watching a show at Cruise and Tango's. And I turned around and I said, "Can I kiss you?" And he's like, "Yep." And then we just had this beautiful makeup, like hold the back of your neck and pull you in and like kind of like lift you off your feet a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, that's a good time. That's a good time for sure.
Oh, fuck. The boners just bing.
Well, and also, there's also that semi, not illicit thrill, but because they're strangers and you're in a public place and it's kind of, you're in a...
Like, I was talking to my therapist about this, because a lot of couples have troubles hooking up like later into the relationship because they're so used to creating a hookup like mentality to a lot of their hookups. So it's like they have to find a way to recreate that feeling with their partners. Isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of associations can sort of trip you up later on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but you've not had any of those issues. You're all full steam ahead. And we can appreciate that.
Full steam ahead. Just give it to me. I'm worth it.
When did you start seeing a therapist?
I love therapy. I started seeing a therapist when pandemic first started, and then I started seeing him again during when I started to lock down things with my new boy. I suffer from a lot of relationship anxiety because of abandonment issues and because of past relationships. So
sure.
I'm all for working on your problems. I love it.
I am as well. And although I have to get back into therapy, which is funny because I'm a big proponent of it, but I have not gotten back into it. But I've gotten a reference or a referral to a great online therapy. Person.
Good. Love. My guy is so great. He's also gay, so it helps. Like, he gets it.
Yeah.
Like, he understands hookup culture. Yeah. He understands, you know, being abandoned. He gets it. So there's that relatability that I have with him. I have a therapy with him on Wednesday, I think. Love him. Love you, Dr. Alex.
Dr. Alex, we're big fans. Yeah, my friend Gabby said something about the importance of, if you're queer, to have a queer therapist.
Yes. Because then you're not put in a box.
Right. Or explaining stuff. Like, you don't really want to be like, oh, well, here's how things work in this world that I'm in. So they need to kind of know it offhand, or at least
be
near it.
I agree. They have to know it already. Yeah.
What about films and TV? What are some of your favorite things?
I'm rewatching all of Scandal right now. I fucking love that show. I have to get my VPN because Criminal Minds is on the US version, and I want to get Criminal Minds of Netflix. I love Criminal Minds. I love scary shit that just scares the shit out of me.
It's like serial killer stuff and all that. Are you into that?
Love serial killer stuff. I'm such a creature of habit, so like that's why I'm rewatching Scandal. I want to rewatch Dexter. Oh my God, I love Dexter.
I love Dexter. Although I think I left off. I have a few seasons to catch up on. The last one I saw was
End Strong.
That's what's kept me from going back to it, because when I hear that,
it's tough. It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. The last season I saw was so good. It was the Jimmy Smith season.
Yes,
and that was incredible. Jimmy Smith played like the high powered, like I think attorney who was just like Dexter. And I'm trying to remember. Jimmy Smith was
was that season two?
No. Maybe season four. It was right before the John Lithgow season. It was
You didn't see John Lithgow?
No, I did not. Is that it? Interview over? Okay, I understand. I understand. You have your standards. And, you know, I failed them. So
something is wrong with you. Something's wrong with you.
Well, you're starting to
learn. You saw season three. You saw seasons one, two, and three. You didn't watch four. Season four is the best season of TV you'll ever watch.
Okay, well, listen.
Of any show.
Any show? All right, well, I'm sold.
Period.
I'm a big John Lithgow fan.
Oh, my God. It's so good. And John Lithgow's... I'm spinning out.
I'll have to watch that.
Okay, what show do you recommend that I should see?
Well, so I've watched almost exclusively shows from the 70s and 80s during this time. I find, especially a couple months ago, I needed things that were nothing to do with right now. So I... here, let me show you. I have a prop. The Complete Cagney and Lacey.
Is it good? I feel like I wouldn't like that. Yeah. I would not like that. There's no way I like that.
Listen, go with your gut. Okay. Well, it's a cop drama. It's two ladies, and it was the first TV show with two lead female characters playing cops. And it kind of influenced all the other cop shows to come. And they deal with the issues of the day and all of that stuff. It's pretty gritty and, you know, go with your gut. If you don't feel like you're going to like it, you're not going to like it.
Okay, fine.
But it's on Amazon Prime. So, you know, you might check it out. But don't watch season one because it's terrible. Start with season two.
I'll try one episode. One. Okay. I'll give you one.
Okay.
If I don't love it, we're never talking again.
Okay. That's a gamble I'm willing to take because that's how much I believe in the show. Because I wouldn't risk that sort of thing. I value our connection too much.
Yeah, you will.
I also love horror movies, though, so I'm going to be probably delving back into those this month. Are you a horror movie fan?
I love horror movies. They're so fun. But it's so hit and miss. They're all it sucks how inconsistent they are. They're either really bad or really good.
No, that's true. There's really no middle ground for horror movies, although I love a really terrible one.
I love House of Wax with Paris Hilton, that remake.
You know, I haven't seen that. So this is good. I'm getting some suggestions for stuff to
watch.
But
I wonder if I would enjoy it now. Like, I loved it so much as a kid. Like, Jeepers Creepers, I loved, but I rewatched it. I was like, what the hell is this garbage?
That happens a lot with favorites from childhood, for sure.
Yeah.
What was the first movie that you were, like, obsessed with as a kid?
Scream.
Oh, okay.
I was so young, but I was so fascinated by, like, watching something that I shouldn't be watching. So I, like, loved it. It was all I thought about.
You and Trixie Mattel both. Green, we even did a movie club together about that. I do, for my Patreon page, I do movie clubs, which if you ever like to do one, you're more than welcome.
So you watch a movie and talk about a movie?
Yeah. We just watch it. And then I have the listeners watch it. And then they send in comments and questions and all that stuff. And then we read them and react to them. And then we talk about the bits we liked in the movie, all that kind of thing.
Oh, I love that. I'm in. Sign me up.
Fantastic.
I'll do it one time.
Sounds good.
I'll do one. Hit me up on Twitter.
I will.
Hit me up on the Twitter, will ya?
I will hit you up on the Twitter. Is there anything you would like to talk about?
I feel pretty happy with this. You talked about so many things. All the sex questions, my favorite.
I'm hoping that we're not leaving anything out of the sex questions.
Because I honestly don't think so. I feel like I've told you enough.
I think I told you a fair amount. I think so.
You did. I'm happy. I can't wait to hear the stories of when you meet your partner or whatever
we're looking
that's gonna be wild. Like it's gonna be very weird. It's gonna be very like seeing somebody for the first time that you've only seen on video. Like even like when I go from like even every time I see my partner now, I discover something new. So I couldn't even imagine like building a relationship virtually with somebody then seeing them for the first time. I feel like I have sensory overload.
I know. I think that's what's going to happen. And I think it's going to be wildly overwhelming.
What do they smell like?
I can't wait to find out.
When are you going to see them? You can fly to the UK. You're allowed to.
Well, I can't. They actually might fly here in January, which would be, I know. I'm really excited about that. And
oh my gosh.
I might be going to visit some friends for like a couple of weeks. I got to figure out if I'm driving or flying. They're in San Francisco. So it might be, you know, a short flight, not so bad, which is be good because I've really been almost totally by myself. Although I found that 2.5 weeks is about my max. And then I have to see someone. So
right.
I actually might be meeting for drinks with someone this week. So that's good.
Love drinks. Try a vodka Diet Coke for your sister here.
I'll order one for the table. I'll pour a little bit out because, you know, you're in another country. But
I'm in another country.
It'll be fun. And I'll definitely keep you abreast of developments on that for sure. So she might be coming in January and then staying through my birthday, which is Valentine's Day, of course. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Oh, Valentine's Day. Lover.
And when's your birthday?
May 28th.
Okay, well, wishing a very early happy birthday and a belated one at the same time, because it's a big year for you.
Big year.
And it's been a big episode for me, and I've really loved chatting with you, and I look forward to doing it again sometime.
Yeah, this is fun! I can't wait to do our movie club episode.
Fantastic, me too. And of course, for those listening, you know where to get that, patreon.com/CraigandFriends. Well, this has been lovely, Priyanka, and thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me. I love you. I'll miss you in the meantime.
Same here.
Bye!
Once again, for more, and I mean a lot more, lots and lots of stuff and plenty of things, head on over to patreon.com/CraigandFriends. Check out the reward tiers, see which one works for you, and then sign on up, slide on into the Thunderbuns of Hot Dog Club, and support this show. All right, love you all, and talk to you soon.